With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and this is Patty Holstrand, and this is KWOD Radio, and we are at 1 o'clock the hour in Arizona, and we welcome everyone else in the world at the point. And we're really excited to have a terrific show this afternoon for you. We have an author that's also an Arizona local author, so I always like to really feature the local authors here in Arizona to showcase their works and everything that they've got going on here in Arizona. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Greg Lundberg. He manages a small defense engineering manufacturing firm in Phoenix. And by night, he writes fiction and nonfiction. Greg is the author of two books, a science fiction novel, which we're going to talk about today, Metamorphosis. He published this in March of 2011, so it was a little over a year ago. His second book is How to Publish an Ebook for Under $350, which is published this year in March, and available, of course, both are available in print and ebook format, available through Amazon. And for fun, Greg plays an occasional round of golf, which is, of course, a big hobby here in Arizona. And he pilots a Cirrus, so of course we have to talk to him about that, when he has both the time and money. We will discuss his sci-fi military thriller, Metamorphosis, and how Greg escapes this world through his stories, and has conversations with his alien alter ego. Welcome, Greg. You there?
Thanks for having me on, Patty. I'm here.
Well, we welcome you, too, and we're excited to have you today. We've got a lot of things to discuss, and we might as well hit it out by you telling us a little introduction outside of what I just said.
Well, how do I follow such an introduction like that? It is true. I am vice president for a small engineering and manufacturing firm. That is my day job, and it's a very demanding job, especially right now we're installing a new enterprise research planning system, so I'm heavily involved in that. And then at night, it's true. I write. And write fiction and nonfiction. And between the two, I have little time for anything else.
But you have a family, so tell us a little bit about that.
I do have a family. I have a grown-up daughter and four grandchildren and a wife and three Pomeranians at home. No kids at home. They come over and visit. So on days that they're here, my evenings are not writing. It's playing with the grandkids.
Well, and as it should be, you know.
As it should be, yes.
It should be. Now, obviously that meant that you started later in life in your writing.
I did. I didn't originally start off wanting to be a writer. When I was in my early 30s, I started to dream about writing, believe it or not. And I kind of always knew deep down inside that someday I would write a book. And unfortunately, it took the death of my father to kind of kick me off the fence. It was one of those things where, you know, you should do it. You should be writing, but you're not doing it because you find all sorts of other reasons to, you know, life just simply expands to take all your time.
Yeah,
but
it's not nice.
But when he passed away, he was a big influence in my life. He was probably the world's number one science fiction fan, and so I kind of wrote the book, the first book, basically to honor his memory, and that's how I got started.
Well, that's awesome. You know, I do know a lot of people who are writing later in life. This is something they always wanted to do, but they, you know, everything got in the way, And they came back to it, you know, in 40s, 50s, when, by the time they're older, and usually the kids are off, you know, out of the way, and were able to focus on their writing. So
that's very important. You definitely have to focus, and if you can't get 2 or 3 good hours in an evening uninterrupted,
right,
it's very difficult to keep track of your characters and the pace of the story and really write well.
So when did you realize you wanted to be a writer then?
You know, I had known, like I said, since my 30s that I wanted to be a writer. And I just, you know, I'd start and stop. And I just didn't seem to have the, what do you want to say, that? Not the patience, but I just couldn't seem to follow it through. So really, for me, it took the shock of my father's death to give me the drive to finish it. Now that I've finished one, and now that I've finished book two, I realize I do have the drive, and I can continue to write.
What about a reader? I mean, were you a reader when you were young?
I was what you would call a voracious reader. Actually, speed reading, I think is the term for it. My house was filled with boxes and boxes of paperback novels. 90% of them were science fiction genre, so naturally that's what I ended up writing. But I love to go down to the bookstore and spend, you know, all Saturday or all Sunday just going through and picking books off the shelf and scanning them, and then finally making my choice and buying 2 or 3 books, and then I'd be back, you know, 3 weeks later buying another 2 or 3 books.
Mm.
So I developed a great love for science fiction.
So who's your favorite author? Or do you have a few?
Oh, I have several. At the moment, I will claim that my favorite author is John Scalzi. He wrote Old Man's War, which is still one of my favorites. Old Man's War, old people's thoughts and life experiences, and even their souls get transferred into these genetically enhanced bodies. And these are incredibly strong bodies. They're short, stocky, and green. And this is military sci-fi at its best. So right now he's my favorite, but I've got a couple others that are close behind.
Have you ever read any of David Weber's stuff?
I have, yes.
He's been in Arizona a couple times at the conventions here. So he's one of our favorites, favorite authors to come and visit us in Arizona. So perhaps have you ever had a chance to meet any of these guys?
No, I haven't. I've been to their websites and stuff like that, but other than reading their bios and, you know, usually on the back page of back cover of their books, I don't know any of them personally. I would love to meet some of these guys. I mean, some of these guys are just brilliant writers, and they're just you know, brilliant in their careers to begin with.
Have you ever read any of John Ringo's stuff?
Probably,
yeah.
I recognize the name. I remember stories more than I remember authors' names.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So if you describe the story to me, I say, yeah, I read that back when, you know, 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I've thrown away more paperback books than people have probably read in their entire lifetime.
Yeah, I've given more away than most people have read in a lifetime. But, yeah. We might very well have a couple of these guys coming soon in conventions. And, of course, now that you're tagged into the convention scene in Arizona, you may be able to have a chance to actually meet some of them.
Oh, I'd love to meet them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, everyone, I just want to let you know what your call-in number is. It's 714-242-5145. And also, we're on chat. And I occasionally go over to my Facebook page, and if you guys know me already, Facebook page, you can give me your questions for Greg anytime. And I will definitely pass that on. But we
Very
would
good.
Definitely like to have you call in. But I've also added on the chat Greg's book, Where to Find It on Amazon. And we'll be handing you off some other information about Greg as we go along here. So I'm going to go get on to the next question is, what does your family think about your writing?
Well, in my family, I've not been known as the creative one. My wife is really the creative person in the family. She's a musical artist, you know, sings, writes music, plays the piano. So my whole family, my immediate family and my larger family, were all shocked when I published my first book. It completely caught them by surprise.
Okay. Did you have any desire to go through traditional route at first?
I tried for years. I've done the whole make the double spaced manuscript, print it out, you know, put it in a box and you know, ship it to the slush piles and you get back your form letter. If you get back anything at all, saying basically, long story short, no, you know. So I've been rejected by every possible way to be rejected, and so I've been that route. And the only reason that I did publish was I happened to have an author I was taking to lunch, and he was talking about a new book that was coming out on Amazon, and I happened to say, "Yeah, I'm an author too. How'd you get a publishing contract?" I went through the whole story, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm doing it myself." He says, "What do you mean you're doing it yourself?" "Yeah, you can do it yourself through Amazon." I says, "You're kidding." So that was like October of, I think, 2011. And I checked into it, and I was so excited about it that March the following year, I published my own book myself.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot easier to publish now. And, of course, the whole industry has changed. And traditional routes is not usually how it's done anymore.
Changing so fast, it's almost scary.
Yeah. You know, the formats and things that we have to constantly keep up with, all these changes. But that's, you know, it's, now they have to Kindle Fire, you know, and Kindle Fire HD. So what's next? You know, we don't know. We'll see. So
the only thing constant is change.
Well, that's true. That and taxes.
That and taxes.
So what do you, does your living, you know, that you're an engineer, but you write sci-fi. So I, you know, as reading through your book, I see some of your influences, but I want to see what you think about this. Does what you do for a living inspire or reject what you write about in your novel?
Well, I would have to definitely say inspires. I'm an optimist at heart, and I can always find stuff to use, you know, from my job, from my career, you know, from my life. Characters, some of the characters that I've written about in the novel are, I take some of the more interesting personality types that I've worked with in the past, and I kind of mix them up, and then exaggerate them a bit, and they make excellent characters.
So, do you think that Ben Gardner? Do you think that's more you, or do you think that you attribute your personality to somebody else in the book?
Parts of him could be seen as my personality. I am educated, like this person's educated. What I was trying to do with Ben Gardner is kind of make him, you know, at age 18, almost 18, he's this genius, which I'm not a genius, by the way. I'd love to be a genius, but he's a genius. He's got all these degrees and advanced degrees, but he can't seem to stay out of trouble. He's kind of socially inept. I wouldn't say that I'm that way, but that's the way I made the character, because I wanted him to have these obstacles that he had to overcome. So maybe that's something that we have in common, is I do tend to overcome obstacles. If they're in my way, I go over them, around them, through them, and this character, I wanted him to have that same ability. However, his alter ego is his Guderian artificial intelligence. That's his best friend. The name of the character is Jack, and the name of the protagonist is Ben Gardner. And Jack is his best friend and alter ego. He kind of fills in the gaps where Ben is socially inept or awkward. Jack kind of coaches him as to how to get over some of those issues, how to talk to girls, for instance. For all his intelligence, he can't seem to even talk to a girl.
Well, that's not unusual for intelligent men. I know quite a few of them, and they have the hardest time with women.
Well, there you go then.
There you go. So it's kind of funny that you say that would you say that Jack is more human, really? I mean, because
Jack acts more human. He has a lot of human characteristics. And you can do a lot of fun things with Jack, too, you know, because he's a self-learning artificial intelligence. And you can kind of use him to highlight problems and issues that maybe you can't do with a live person.
Right, right. You have more opportunities to expand on him.
And then he can change at a drop of a hat, too, which is also a nice plot trick.
Because he's a machine.
He's a machine, right.
Yeah. So do you think that you have another story? Is it going to be expanded into anything else? Because I'm not sure if you really kept us open enough to be able to do that.
Yeah, I purposely left the story open. I want to change into a new universe. I do have a 3 or 4 book series in me that I've been working on for some time, kind of working on developing the universe and some of the characters. I'd like to get that one at least birthed first. Sometime in the future, I'll probably come back to the Metamorphosis universe, but for right now, I'm going to launch into a brand new one.
Oh, that's awesome. And are we going to see any more artificial intelligence in the new series?
You are going to see some artificial intelligence. I need to make it quite different than what you see in this book, but I have a couple of funny scenes already kind of blocked out that I can use an AI for. It'll be more of a minor role in the next book.
Now, you like AI, obviously. So.
I do like AI. I think it's here to stay. I think, you know, we science fiction writers write a lot about it because we can sense that down the road you're going to have a computer that you're going to be able to converse with, and that computer is going to be more than just a voice talking back to you on the computer saying turn left, turn right, you know, like you get now with mm-hmm. with Siri or something like that on an Apple product. But they're actually going to be able to converse with you more on a human level. It's coming.
Mm.
Hopefully not right away, because then it's no longer a good plot trick for a science fiction writer, because we need to be, you know, I'm writing about far future.
Right.
So suddenly if something in the far future like a phaser or warp drive becomes near future, well, that throws your universe off.
Well, they actually, I read somewhere about warp bubble, so they've already kind of said that they proved that it could happen. And if you really think about it, and it's, I know we talk about this a lot in conventions, but a lot of the things that science fiction writers wrote in the 50s and 60s and 70s is already come to pass. So, you know, what we're writing now as science fiction writers, I mean, right now, is what we see, we visualize that it's going to be in a very near future. Things that haven't happened yet, such as time travel and really solid artificial intelligence, is, like you said, definitely something that's going to happen. And I believe that, as you know, time travel is my favorite. And I think that it's definitely feasible. So what we think of, we can conceive. And that's the way with science fiction writers.
That is the truth. And you wonder, you know, is the chicken come before the egg? Did some of the inventions that we've recently seen, did they originate from writers writing about things that could happen and then inspiring young folks to actually go out and make it happen, or was it the other way around?
Well, I know quite a few astronauts and actually some people who work for NASA who are science fiction enthusiasts. I mean, really hardcore science fiction enthusiasts, to the point of that they, you know, they are definitely they go to conventions in Star Trek uniforms. So,
well, these are astronauts. Cool.
these are astronauts, and these are people who work, and you know, they're the ones that are doing the probes for Mars right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, they grew up with these, you know, science fiction authors that had these ideas, and they tell me it's they all inspired me to become what I am now. So that's just cool to hear about, because you think, okay, this is the reality of science fiction and why it is important to our future.
So. And it's a fun diversion as well.
Yes, it is a fun diversion as well. But it's a what if. What if that really inspires, I think, most authors, but I think especially sci-fi. Would you not agree?
Yes, I would definitely agree.
So with that in mind, what would you do to advise other aspiring writers who are interested in this particular genre?
Well, I guess probably the most useful thing I could recommend, since it's really worked for me, is to join a good writers group. Because if you join a good writers group, you're going to sharpen each other. You get other good writers that have ideas, and you listen to their ideas, and that generates ideas for you, and you say stuff, it generates ideas for them. You can practice your craft with each other, you can trade manuscripts around, and it helps to have other writers of your genre review your work.
Definitely.
So that if it's confusing, or if it's not, you know, making sense, you'd like to know now before you get it out into the public.
For sure. That's definitely true. But it's also good to have the camaraderie of like-minded people around you.
It is. The particular group that I belong to, which is the West Valley Writers Workshop, it's a very eclectic group of people. They're not all science fiction. There's science fiction people, hard sci-fi people, light sci-fi people, steampunk people. There's nonfiction writers. There's people that are writing, you know, short stories, articles. They come from all different backgrounds. And all the different viewpoints, it's really quite interesting to see how that comes together. And you can learn from all of them.
Definitely. And, of course, by having the diversity, you never know where somebody is going to inspire you with some idea of something you should write.
Yeah, I have pages and pages of notes from these meetings.
Well, there you go. Is it about the characters or something that they triggered as far as...
Well, it's actually... I've got notes on character development. I've made up notes right on the spot about, okay, here's a plot trick or twist I'd like to try, or here's a science factoid that I'd like to work into my universe. Just about every aspect of the writing, I'm able to make notes as I'm going along, because who knows? Someone may say something and it just sparks a thought immediately, and then on my iPad I'm busy typing in a note, you know, and I'll say it's, you know, possible character flaw, possible, science fiction plot that you want to put into your story. So it's good. It's very good.
Good. That's awesome, because that it does. I do recommend very highly getting into a writing group, and I've been in writing groups in the past when I was writing my books, and now I find that once you become published, and with me it's even a different level, because I've published other people, I have a hard time finding people who I can work well with, because I find that I'm doing a lot of help on their end, but not getting any reciprocating.
Oh, it's all one way.
Yeah. So I've had a hard time finding a group that I can work well with as far as being a writer. Being able to take the hat off is kind of hard to do when I walk in the door to be an author. So we met at this group. This West Valley.
Yes, we did. I had seen your name. I'd seen some of your websites and some of your blogs, of course, on the internet beforehand, probably for about a year. I think we may have even corresponded once or twice about stuff. I think you offered one time to review my book, and I didn't take you up on it. Stupid me. But I did meet with you at the West Valley Writers Workshop, and you did a very good presentation on marketing books, and that's when my wife and I decided that we needed to meet with you in person and talk about things. It was very illuminating.
which goes to show, and this is something that I've been talking about lately, and people said, well, you know, you do a lot of business on social media. I said, that's true. But to tell you the truth, most of my business comes from one-on-one contacts, you know, the events I go to. That's where you really build lasting relationships. And because you can't do that by just sticking behind social media.
I agree with you totally. Yeah. So, I mean, social media is great and all that stuff, but, you know, Facebook cannot replace, you know, a person in front of another person shaking hands and talking about things.
Yeah.
And besides that, Facebook can sometimes be very annoying.
Yes, yeah, it can. Yeah, it can, especially with their way they're doing it. Sometimes you can't even get in contact with people that you really want to get in contact with, or that they're getting inundated with the same messages going from one group to another.
Doesn't that irritate you that they keep changing the how Facebook operates all the time?
Yeah.
It's like just as soon as you learn where everything is, they go and they hide them all again. It's like, you know, where's Waldo?
Yeah. Because I was trying to upload somebody's free essay and found out that they no longer support any text for something like this. I said, oh, okay. I mean, I had to actually, because they don't have that anywhere on Facebook, I actually had to go into another group and find out, they don't support that anymore. Oh, man. You know, that's that was a good thing for authors that could share, you know, pieces of their work, but now they don't support that. It is aggravating. So you write sci-fi, but is there any other genre that you're interested in?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that. I do have one nonfiction book under my belt. I had right after I had published my my science fiction novel, both in ebook format and in printed format. We had a TV producer over at our house, a friend of the family, and you know, I said, "Hey, I'm an author now," and I showed her the book, and she goes, "I want to book you on my TV show." So I was on television like within 2 weeks after being being published, and then I was on a radio show similar to this. It was Steve Henry show, and everybody wanted to know, how did you publish your book? They wanted to know, you self-published, you're kidding, you did it for how much? They just simply couldn't believe that this was possible, because you know, this is all new, this is only 2-3 years old. So I wrote a book on how to publish an ebook, and that's the other book that I just finished and got published this year. And I did that principally because everybody seems to have a story in them. Either they've written a book and they haven't been able to sell it, or they've in the process of writing a book, or they want to write a book. And it was I was really surprised at how well I was able to light up the phone lines on the radio show and television show. So that's the other book I wrote, nonfiction.
Yeah, that's a really timely discussion too. By the way, you wrote the book that I should have been writing like a couple of years ago. So just goes to show you, procrastination is, you know, it gets in the way. So why you were obviously influenced by sci-fi, but why specifically this particular subject?
Well, because it was, like you say, that when you write for an audience. So my science fiction book is written for the sci-fi audience. Mm-hmm. I realized that there was a big audience for this particular nonfiction book, and I decided to go ahead and write for this audience, in the hopes that I could then springboard off into, you know, doing an occasional seminar on how to do it. My long-term goal being, when I retire, I want to have, you know, stuff to do. I want books,
right.
you know, seminars. Basically, I want to keep working, but I want to do the fun stuff now.
Now you're going to be speaking soon with the West Valley Group at a conference. Want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I was. I've been going to the West Valley Writers workshop for probably about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, and I was very flattered, really, to once I came out with this book, to have the writers or the leaders of the group invite me to give a 1 hour talk on the topic of how I publish an ebook or how to publish an ebook. And this is an all day writers conference that is sponsored in Avondale, and it's on November 3rd, I believe, 8 in the morning till 5 p.m. They do break for lunch, and they have a number of speakers. My topic will be how to publish an ebook, but there are keynote speakers. They're going to have a bunch of agents there, so people can give agent pitches. Perhaps you can pick up an agent. There'll be workshops on editing, workshops on audiobooks, a number of topics. And again, I was very flattered to be asked to be a presenter this year.
That's awesome. And of course, you are being presented on the ebook.
Right, on how to publish an ebook.
Got it.
And the actual title of the presentation will be the same. It's How I Publish an Ebook for Under $350. But it'll be drinking from a fire hose, because I'm going to take a five hour seminar and squeeze it down into 50 minutes. So this is tough. This will be very tough.
Yeah, it would be. But the idea is obviously that you want them to be able to get motivated to call to action to buy a book.
It's interesting that you use the word call to action. It's something that a lot of us writers use in the fiction world. You call your protagonist to action, but I'm actually using that as part of the presentation I'm giving. It's part pep talk, part motivation, and then part how to do something.
Yeah, the call to action that's used a lot for marketing and for sales. That's a term that they coined a long time ago about driving traffic not only to websites but making call to action to motivate them to do something. And of course, that's what we want them to do. We want them to buy your book.
Want them to buy my book, come to seminars, and buy the science fiction book and then the other books when they come out.
Speaking of which, for those who are listening, and I know that you are because I can see you, his ebook for under $350 is now up on the chat, so you can click and go directly to the Amazon page and take a look at it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I do here. You got to look inside, click and look inside. I've already got one of his books, so I already know what it says, so there. So now you guys have to do the same thing. So let's back to a little bit of your metamorphosis. Why the title? I thought that was interesting.
The title Metamorphosis, and it's a funny story about the title Metamorphosis. That was a title that was kind of like the thing behind it was metamorphosis means change or rapid change. And I originally said, okay, let's use metamorphosis. When I went to go publish the ebook, I was appalled to find that there are numerous, numerous books with the word metamorphosis in them. And what I probably should have done is I should have said metamorphosis and then maybe had a subtitle underneath to make it more unique. Because if you type in metamorphosis in the search engine, you'll get a gazillion hits. But that's something to learn for the next book.
Yeah, we had the same problem with Don's first book. It was Moonstone, and you click a Moonstone, and you get everything under.
And you get everything under the sun. I've got to learn how to market some of this stuff from people like you and others, because that's what you do.
Well, I've already made my mistakes.
And I should be able to learn from them.
You learn from mistakes, and that's what I'm doing now. Is I teach other people based on what I've learned and what I've learned from my mistakes. And it's like trying to avoid those things. And sometimes that works, and sometimes people most of the time will listen. So that's good. And unlike, children, teens that don't like to listen to you,
Yeah. But anyway, back to your question on metamorphosis. It means change, and the part of the horror piece in the plot is there is some genetic material that's left over from a war that occurred a millennia ago, and this genetic material, upon contact with humanity, will cause a metamorphosis or change into basically it'll regress back to this other alien form. And then there are these crystals, Kadarian crystals, which people in this future universe wear them as jewelry. They were just laying around in these archaeological sites. And so, of course, they got picked up and sold by people. And unbeknownst to them, you take this genetic material and you take these crystals, and these crystals program the genetic material to change a person into this intelligent alien being that had been killed off in more than 1,000 years ago. So that's the tie-in to the title.
Well, I can see some perhaps some things that you, some books that you've read in the past that probably inspired you to towards this particular thought.
Yeah, it's true. We've all read about the pod people and stories like that and science fiction movies. And I did not want to make it a copycat story.
No.
It needs to be unique, but you do have the general theme. And then there's kind of an ancient myth or whatever when we study Pandora's box. That's why I used it. Pandora's box, when it stays closed, everything's great. But when you open it, some things escape out that you can't put back in. And that's basically what they've done. They've discovered on a salvage mining mission, a pod, basically. Mm-hmm. The remains of a probe that had been ejected from a battle, previously. And, of course, even though they have it under quarantine, you've got your bad apple crewman who manages to sneak in there and, open it up. It'd be like a movie. You're yelling on the screen, don't do it, don't open it, don't open it. But they can't help themselves. They open it because there's got to be riches inside or something. And, of course, they infect themselves, and then they infect the rest of the crew, and then the story starts to spin out of control. So it was fun.
Yeah, that's... It always you have to have somebody that causes trouble, otherwise it wouldn't be an interesting story.
Yeah, you wouldn't have a story. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What was the most surprising thing that you've learned while creating? By writing, not just producing, but writing your book.
The most surprising thing?
Yeah.
Let's see. The most surprising thing. Well, I would have to say that people like my story.
Oh, that surprises you, huh?
That surprised me. I guess it's because I'm not the professional writer. I didn't go to journalism school and all that. I hadn't been writing for 35 years, at least not professionally.
Uh-huh.
And I guess at first when you write, you have a little bit of a tender ego. And I was really surprised that people thought the story was good. They thought the plot line was good. They thought the characters was good. And I think that was a very pleasant surprise, and it helped to motivate me to actually finish the book and keep working on it and polishing it until the time that I hired an editor and got it published.
Did you do any research when you went to write your book?
Most of my research was studying how viruses operate and how infections pass between people.
Mm-hmm.
I already had quite a bit of the software theory. I know how computers work. I know how software works. I was able to take those my basic knowledge of computer science and kind of extend the technology way out to where you could actually almost take a person and put them in a computer program, which is a it's a clever plot trick that's been used, you know, various times, various ways. Probably the most famous is Tron. You know, where you go, you go into the computer. But I didn't want it to make it like Tron, so it's, you know, got to be different than Tron. But the same theory is when you plug into the computer, you know, you and the computer and the ship become one.
Definitely is interesting when you start, you know, integrating computers with inside of people. You have a lot of things about, you have a lot of characters in your story. Do you think that helped, or do you think that hindered what you needed to do in the story?
Well, it was a lot of work to keep track of the various people. I mean, I have six main characters. So I have the protagonist, Ben, Jack, his alter ego, the AI. There's Jennifer, the love interest, Commander Forrest, who's the dashing officer. Hemet, who's the science officer, and Tina, who's the brash but excellent engineer. So those are the core people, and everybody else basically is a supporting cast. Either they get killed off, or they set up other situations for the main characters. But the trick was trying to keep track of everybody, because as you're going along here, and you have someone say something, and then later on, you have someone else refer to the same thing. If it's a different character, that's a mistake. You know, it's an error. Someone's going to catch that. The continuity is going to be interrupted. So it was a little bit more difficult.
Do you think having the writing group helped you keep control of that?
I think that what the writing group gave me. This particular novel was not reviewed by the writers group until after it was published, because I joined about the same time.
Okay.
But I had like 10 science fiction readers, people that were avid readers, who reviewed the book, and they would spot plot inconsistencies. They would say, "Hey, this doesn't make sense," or they'd say, "Could you expand upon this?" Or, "This doesn't seem like it's in the right sequence." And they were very, very helpful in getting the story all blocked out and lined up. Now, on the nonfiction book that I wrote, that this writers group did review it extensively, and I had all writers review it. There were no non-writers. Everybody was a writer, and they had a lot to say about the topic, let me tell you. So there was a lot of rewriting. I reorganized the book a couple of times completely, where people said, "This should be first, this should be last." Very, very, very important for me to get that kind of feedback, especially from people that actually write.
That's definitely true. It does help, especially in this particular subject for the second book, your nonfiction. A lot of these people could actually get something out of it. I mean, they'll be able to utilize what you kind of taught them, some things that they didn't know.
That's right. That's right. And then they would write back and they would say, "You consider this? Did you consider this? Did you consider this?" Or, "I don't agree with that." You know, then I don't necessarily responded to all their comments, but I definitely considered every comment. In the greater context of the book.
Yeah, that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand what they're doing, writers group, is you take all their information and things that people are saying to you, don't take them personally, and take what they get and delve out to say, okay, this I agree with, but it won't work because of this, but really look at every single item and decide and discern what you really want to use. And what it just... plain BS.
Yes.
Because there are some people who are going to tell you things that are just not right, not true. But you find that out, and you say, okay, this person didn't know what they're talking about, and then you can move on. Not everybody in there knows everything, But the good thing is that we can't individually know everything, and that's why writers' groups are so important.
I actually attended the writers' group for 6 months before I started the nonfiction book. So by then, I knew who that I could trust to give me what I would consider good comments about a book.
That's good. That's good to have. It comes in handy. And I know a few of your people on the group that I know are really good about giving information. And they're very opinionated.
Some of them are, which is fine, which is fine. It's a challenging environment sometimes. You get a lot of really bright people in a room, and they just sharpen each other. They really do.
So what's up next for you? Other than, I know you're talking about your new series for your sci-fi. Are you planning on doing any follow-up for your e-book?
Well, I'm coming up with organizing some seminars. We've decided to call them the Dream Big Seminars. And what we're envisioning is you gather people in a room, people that have written a book or thinking of writing a book, or maybe they've even published a book and with a traditional publisher and they're not happy with it and they want to do their own stuff, they want to do their own ebook. And in the seminar, I would basically go through my book almost page by page and in depth, here's how you do it. Here's how I did it. Here's the mistakes I made. Here's how you can learn from it. And teach them how to publish their own ebook. And it's not for everybody, but for the people that want to do it, and they want to do a good job, and they don't want to spend a lot of money, those are the kind of people that I'm looking for, or looking forward to teach anyway.
That's great, and we will definitely have some dates next time we talk. So we're working on getting some locations. Other than November 3rd, which of course is going to be at where?
This will be at the Avondale, not the Civic Center, but the Council Chambers, the Council Building.
And that's, of course, that's out on, what street is that?
That's a good question.
Avondale Boulevard, I think.
I think it is off of Avondale Boulevard.
Okay. Yeah,
it's like the first exit past the 101. So you'll head toward Evendale on I-10, and you'll pass the big overpass, and it should be the first exit that you get off on the right. Then you turn left, and you drive two stoplights, and you're there. It's a marvelous building too. It's very very well laid out. I went last year to the writers' conference, and I just thought it was the greatest thing. I'd never been to one.
Okay. Never been to any writing conference or just that one?
I'd never been to any writing conference at all.
I mean, literally.
I wrote a book, tried to get it published, tried to get someone to publish it, never been to a seminar, never had anyone give me any advice. And after I got it published, then I started asking for advice. So I kind of did it backwards, but it's okay. I finally learned my lesson. And now I seek advice on everything I do.
Well, that's, again, that is comes from experience. You learn from things that you do and things that you don't do. And you can move on. You learn from it. So that's what why we're here, why we're all together doing this. Other than Amazon, which I've already, just for everybody knows, I do have a question here, but I'll give that in a minute. The two locations for your Metamorphoses as well as your ebook for under $350.
The science fiction novel is available as an ebook on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Kobo, and also the iBookstore. It was on Barnes and Noble or Borders, and I was able to successfully sell one ebook and get paid before they promptly closed down. But now it's just on Kobo, and then you can purchase a a paperback Metamorphosis if you're not into ebooks from Amazon only. The nonfiction book is only available currently on Amazon, both as an ebook and as a paperback.
Or you can see him in person.
Or you can see me in person.
And we'll have books there for sure.
Get a signed copy.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll also be giving away a handful of copies during my presentation, so I'll ask a few questions. If I get some outstanding answers, then I'll pass a book out or two.
One of the questions I got was specifically about the seminar, whether or not you're considering doing webinar so that way people outside of the state, because I have a lot of readers and listeners from outside the state, could also get information from you on that.
I need to learn about webinars. This is something that
I need to talk
to someone who's very knowledgeable about webinars and how to do them. And I see no reason why not.
No, there's no reason why not.
Do webinars, personal in-person seminars, different strokes for different folks.
That's right. We have to thank our friends on Facebook for asking that question. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes they lead right into a really good question that we wanted to, to touch on, but it's sometimes hard to toot your own horn. So that's a best way to do it. So, yes, we do plan on doing webinars, and some of them will be smaller ones that we give for free, and the other ones will definitely be paid for. So that always comes in handy. We'll be able to include that on Facebook and let you guys know when that happens. You have a website.
The website is authorgreglundberg.com, all run together.
And I already gave them your Facebook page. That's greg.lundberg, LUNDBERG.77. For those who want to find him on Facebook and get latest information.
Or you can also go to my website, and there are links back to Facebook and also to my blog, which is on WordPress.
There we go. I am trying to get to see here. It didn't do the underline, so it's not a direct link, so let me try this over again.
With a www in front?
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't go. There it goes. Okay, so now you guys have the link there. You can click on and go directly to his website, which, of course, is science fiction-y.
It is science fiction-y.
So what other marketing things are you doing to get the word out about your book?
The website, blogging, Facebook, lectures. Nonfiction book lectures. We'd also like to sell fiction books along with it. And hopefully in the near future, I'll do some book signings and, of course, the seminars.
And he also, for everyone, because I know this is something that I've been talking about lately, is a book trailer, and he's got himself one right on his website and page. So you guys need to get on his website and take a look.
And the book trailer, it was my first attempt at it, and it's way too long. So we're going to come up with another one in the near future that's more pithy, short and pithy.
Right. Yeah.
We're kind of experimenting with the YouTube. I think I have, I've got many, many thousands of hits on it, but there's no way for me to judge whether or not book sales are following the YouTube.
Yeah, that is a hard one. You can tell when you've been, wherever you've been in an event, for the next 2 or 3 days, you're going to have more traffic on your website because of where you were. It comes in handy when you start doing things on a regular basis.
Yeah. I haven't given up on YouTube. We just haven't figured out how to make it work for an author yet. So.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas? I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, YouTube's a tough one, but it's a numbers game. Numbers game, so we'll talk more about that. We are almost at an hour. Anything you wish to share about things that you've learned from being an author?
I've learned that there are a lot of people. There's a diverse. How do I say this? I like to use the word eclectic because that's the kind of people that I see at the writers group. But they're from all walks of life. And you can kind of see that when you go into a bookstore, is that you've got books that are written by people from everywhere doing all sorts of different things. And I'm just amazed at how many people are just really interested in writing and want to write a book and thinking about writing a book. And it's not just, you know, it's just not me and a few people out there that are doing all the writing. There's a lot of people that write. The trick is going to be, how do you get noticed? You know, if there's all these thousands and hundreds of thousands, maybe even, you know, a million writers in the world, how do you get found by the people that are readers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be at a lot of different places, and so it takes a lot of work to get all the different locations and be everywhere at once. I know how that is. Speaking of which, I want everyone know that yes, we will have a show specifically for your ebook for under $150 on October 26th, which is Friday, at 5:30 to 6:30 Arizona time. So that's going to be, you know, 3 hours difference in East. So you guys, I will have that information up, and you already have some people saying that they want to know more about your ebook book. Yes, we know you do.
you know, if the funny thing is, and this is kind of humbling, you know, I went on TV, I went on the radio, you know, thinking, oh, I'm just author now, I've written a science fiction book. And, you know, the show hosts and all that were appreciative that I was on, and they, you know, asked the nicety questions. But the honest truth is, no one wanted to know about the science fiction book that I wrote. They wanted to know all about how did I manage to do it myself.
Right.
That was the big. That was what motivated everybody to call in on the show. So you kind of have to swallow your pride a little bit and realize that, okay, switch gears here. You're going to run with this other ball. It's not a problem.
Yeah. So we will definitely have a lot of questions. Some of these things are on your website, so I am expecting that you're going to get some hits on the website.
Good.
That's, you know, especially you have a link here on your conference here in Avondale on November 3rd. And we need to get up your next one, so that way they'll see that, yes, we're going to have another show. And like I said, that's going to be on October 26th, 5:30 to 6:30. And that's going to be specifically, well, you know, we'll touch a little bit for those who didn't listen to the first show about who he is and what he's, you know, his first book. But the show is going to be a lot more on exactly what he's talking about in the book. And, you know, some little tips and things that because you do have some things on your website, so reasons to publish an ebook. So we'll be discussing that and whether or not we think that they should publish an ebook before they do a print book, and the ramifications of both. So you and I will be able to definitely lead a lot of good stuff when it comes to that. So
it'll be a good debate. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be a good debate. And anyway, for that, it was definitely good to be able to get on board. Everyone knows now that was a big question. Thank you so much, guys, for asking that question, because it led right into what we wanted to talk about at the end here, which was where else to see you and where else to listen to you about your books that you have coming up. So with that, I'm going to say that I'm leading the answer. I'm not sure if you saw the special question I asked.
Now that I've successfully slain the dragon, how will you celebrate? Now, are you asking me, or are you asking my character?
Well, that's interesting. I've never had an author who asked me that question. I typically ask the author, and there's a reason why, because it does matter. It depends. The answers usually have something to do with what they write. and their personality comes through.
Ah, I see. Well, I tell you how I celebrate is I go buy a pizza, drink a glass of wine, and kick back a little bit.
So there you go. Every single author answers differently. And that's why the question's good. So I say we are at the last minute here. So I really thank you for coming in and talking to us about your book and books.
Thank you very much for having me, Patty. I appreciate the chance to share with your audience.
And it'll be interesting to see where your numbers go. And I, you know, the reason why I separated the two, right? You do know
why.
Okay.
Yes.
Because they're first distinctly different, you sci-fi compared to your nonfiction. Also, because I'd like to be able to see numbers between what we're specifically talking about sci-fi compared to when we talk about your nonfiction. So,
but you know where to take your topics in the future.
Well, it actually goes to prove something that I've been saying lately, and is that if you write a fiction, you really need to write a nonfiction, put it in front of your fiction books. Because that's going to drive traffic not only to your nonfiction, but it will drive traffic to your fiction stories. And
we'll test that theory, won't we?
Yeah, I've been testing it with other people, and so it'd be interesting to see what numbers come up for you as well. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye for the day, and thanks so much for coming in, and thanks for Cheryl for getting home in time.
Okay.
And tell her hello for me.
I'll do that. Thank you, Patty. Bye, everyone.
I had lost you guys for a few minutes when I disconnected from Greg on Skype, and so now we know that might be a problem, so we'll try to fix that. So that was Greg Lundberg, and of course you guys got the information on how to get a hold of him. He's on Facebook. He's got his own website, authorgreglundberg.com, and he's got some great information on there. And of course about both of his books, Metamorphosis, his thriller, and also his Amazon site for how to get a hold of his ebook, how to publish ebook for under $350, which is also available on Amazon. And if you are in Arizona, definitely come and see him speak. He will also be speaking, for those who are listening, also be speaking next Saturday at the Publishing Marketing Group, a meetup group that I host on third Saturday of the month from 2 to 4 p.m. He will speak for about an hour. Again, he'll be giving a dry run on what he'll be talking about at the West Valley Writing Group for the November 3rd conference in Avondale. So that's a great way for those who are not going to be able to make it to West Valley or just can't make it that far. We'll be able to get a dry run of what he's going to be talking about at that conference. And, of course, this is a small version of what he'll be offering during his Dream Big seminar, which helping him host to different locations starting out in Prescott. Starting November. So we are definitely excited. We'll be hosting some of these as of the beginning of the year. They'll be all around the valley. So we will definitely keep in touch with Greg as well as myself to offer you those opportunities to get this great information. And, of course, his book comes with the seminar, as well as also talks with me personally and with some things that I've found to be the case with media kits and marketing for authors and some things that authors are ignoring when they need to really step up and where they can optimize their marketing choices with their books. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye for the afternoon, and you guys have a great day. And a great night and a wonderful weekend. We will see you soon. We're going to be here again. a show on Wednesday, this Wednesday, 5:30 p.m., October 17th. We'll be talking to Lillian Brummett. She is not only an author, award-winning author, along with she and her husband, but also going to be discussing a going green movement for our economics as well as our environment. So she writes about a lot of that information. So we'll be discussing not just her writing, but also how people can help themselves going green. And then we also have another show next Wednesday after that, October 24th, from 5:30 to 6:30, and that is with the Team Magazine. They've got a wonderful group going on. It's Spirit, where Spirit meets Art. And we'll be discussing how teens can leverage things that they're passionate about, especially in art or the arts or in writing, for this particular literature. So we'll be talking to that group on Wednesday, the 24th, from 5:30 to 6:30. And then, of course, we've got Greg again, and we'll be specifically talking mostly about the ebook for under $350 on October 26th, Friday, from 5:30 to 6:30. So that's our next three shows coming up. We might have some things in between, but the interesting thing is that I've also been invited to go out, and we'll probably have a show out on October 19th on Friday from 5 to 7 out at Cape Creek, Arizona. And we're going to be doing the very first Running of the Bulls in the desert. And you just got to have to laugh about that. And I'm going to be writing about how this is relevant for writing. Well, how it's relevant is because Ernest Hemingway used to go all around the world, and one of the things he used to do was running of the bulls. Nothing gets your adrenaline up faster than you have all these stampeding bulls behind you, and you were having to race in front of them. So I will be out at the Running of the Bulls. It's going to be a test run. It's a media run on Friday, October 19th at 5 to 7 p.m. I'll do a show at that time as well. So it'd be interesting to find out how they plan to do that. What's the difference between doing it here in Arizona in the desert compared to doing it in Spain? So we'd be interested to see that and looking forward to it. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye to everyone, and you guys have a great weekend. KWOD Radio, this is Patty Holstrand signing out.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.